den Richtlinien so vorgenommen worden sind, wie wir das für richtig halten. Das heißt,
Hey, Billy, why do you look so down?
Aw, Dad, I got a computer, a PlayStation, and a barn full of iguanas, and I'm still bored.
Gee, Billy, when I was your age, I would read lots of stories in pulp magazines. Oh, with stories of weird adventure and fantasy, horror, satire, and lots of action.
Wow, that sounds great, Dad.
Yeah, I sure wish there was something like that right now.
There is, Daddy-O!
Who are you?
I'm Dr. Mary Von Rocksprocket, host of the Twisted Pulp Radio Hour. And now there's...
Yeah?
Twisted Pulp Magazine!
What's that, Doctor?
Why, it is a return to greatness! Available on all your digital devices! That is what it is! Look!
This looks awesome!
Exciting and, dare I say it, very unwholesome.
You definitely have that right, my good man.
Thanks, Dr. Mary.
My pleasure, Billy. And just between you and me, I am not sure that this man is really your father. Bye.
Dad?
Just read your Twisted Pulp magazine, Billy.
Twisted Pulp magazine! Available in dark alleyways behind meth labs everywhere, or at Amazon.com or archaicmedia.info. That is archaicmedia.info.
Blue on one end, yellow on the other, by K.W. Jeter. Copyright 1989 by K.W. Jeter. Drinking was good. Drinking was good because it allowed him to fine-tune the process, to stretch out the delicious, scary, on-edge moment, to play with it, as though it were some infinitely elastic substance, thinning from a rope, to a cord, to a string, to a thread. The words danced in a happy, nonsense song inside his skull, to a line of atoms, one right after another, until the elastic string, the delicious moment, snapped. That was the whole game, to see how far he could stretch it, without it snapping, without screwing up, without going over the edge. He most definitely did not want to screw up. Not again. Not another time. That part was no fun at all. He sat at the bar, rolling the capsule with the tip of his finger across the scarred and cigarette-burnt wood grain. Very interesting wood grain. He'd looked at it times before, long and hard enough to read the microscopic words hidden there. He had to be careful about that, too. If he pushed down on the capsule too hard, it could split and break open, the bitter white powder spilling out, which was uncool, as everyone would be able to see him and watch him scraping up the powder and sucking it off the end of his finger. They all knew already, all of them, the bartender working the beer taps and eyeing him, the other customers scattered around with their sneaky gazes tapping at his spine. They all knew, but he wasn't supposed to fuck up and be obvious about it. That was part of the game, too. So he pressed down on the capsule just hard enough, just light enough, rolling it away from him, avoiding the wet circles where he'd set his own glass down, then drawing it back the same way. With his other hand, he raised his glass and took a sip. He could, if he wanted to, pick up the cap between his thumb and forefinger and set it gently on his tongue and wash it down, the little bullet sliding down his throat. He was in a position to do that, glass with beer, warm and flat in one hand, the outstretched finger of his other hand, pinning the capsule down on the bar. He looked at himself in the mirror behind the ranks of bottles. The reflections of his hands were hidden behind the stacked-up glasses, but he knew they were there. It'd be the smart thing to do. All he had to do was swallow the cap, and the world would be a safer place. And duller. That was the problem. If he swallowed it, the game would be over, at least until the morning. He might as well go home and let the gray wash of the TV rise over his head, a mumbling tide through which he would gaze up as though he were at the bottom of some luminous sea. A glass squeaked as the bartender rubbed it with a towel. The bartender glanced up from the pink hands doing their work and looked at him sitting there. The hands went on smearing the damp cloth inside the glass. Behind him, out among the bar's tables, the other drinkers fell silent, sounding like birds then, like the silence of birds sitting on a wire overhead. He closed his own eyes and saw the telephone lines splitting a heat shimmering sky, the small black shapes suspended there and watching him, a crushed insect, perfect, down to the spines on its stiff paper legs, scrambling in the clamp of a bird's beak, the silence of the others scanning the dust and road for their small prey. He opened his eyes. He could see them in the mirror just barely, but they were there. Behind him, the shapes of birds, with their dark, glossy wings, claws gripping the glasses on their tables, their bead eyes staring at him with incalculable hate and appetite. He had to bend down low over his own glass to hide the smile that was threatening to split his face open. You weren't supposed to, wherever you went. You weren't supposed to sit by yourself and let some big loony, shit-eating grin break out. That'd be like pinning the hospital commitment papers to your chest and walking around with them like a neon sign. But it really was funny, thinking about crows sitting around a table nursing their beers. Heckle and Jekyll, tie one on. They knew he was laughing at them, inside himself, and he could feel, without looking up at the mirror, their scowls growing more jagged and hateful. That's what playing was all about. He watched his fingertip rolling the capsule back and forth a couple of inches, sailing so close to the edge that you saw things like that, really saw them, things you'd never see otherwise, things they didn't want you to see, that they gave you the caps for, so you wouldn't see them. He tilted his head back for another swallow, and let the beer uncoil, a benign, liquid snake inside his stomach. When he'd been married, and weren't there a lot of stories that started out that way? Ancient saga time, the other epic opening line being when he'd been in the hospital. He took another swallow, down to the last half inch in the glass, and concentrated, working the little splinter of memory out of his waltzing brain. When he'd still been married, and she'd come to see him at the hospital, that story, he'd had the idea in his head that he'd gotten it from her, the way you catch the flu from somebody else, as though it were a virus, something he'd tasted in her sweat, or in some pink recess. A sexually transmitted disease, as it were. He hadn't told the doctors and therapists about that because he didn't want them to take it away from him. The secret hope that took a long time to die, the memory of it soured the beer in his stomach, was that when he got out, they'd be together, he and his wife, in this new world all their own. It hadn't worked out that way. That made him sad. He leaned his numbed face against the knuckles of one hand and watched the capsule being rolled back and forth on the bar. The capsule was two bright colors, blue and yellow, with the name of the pharmaceutical company in tiny white letters along the side. They must love their work, he figured, to paint their name on every little blue and yellow capsule that came rolling off the assembly line, painting on the letters with a one-hair brush, delicate as an eyelash. He bore them no ill will, they just didn't know. And it was too bad about his wife. It would have been fun. She would have thought the black birds at the table behind him were funny, with their ragged, water-dripping feathers and glitter-eyed malevolence. She had thought all sorts of things were funny. That had been the problem. He had to admit it. The sound of a knife and something wet broke into his head, sending all the old memories flying. He looked up and saw the bartender cutting a lime into wedges, filling up the little plastic bin with the bright red cherries and all the other garnishes, skinned raw little onions and the like. The bartender looked at him over the wet hands pressing down the knife's point, and he felt the hand of sudden panic grip his bowels. What if? His brain had little rat feet that went scurrying around the walls of his skull, looking for any way out. It wasn't a bartender at all, but something inside a bartender, something that had crawled in there through a long slit in the back, that had pulled down the bartender head like a helmet, with its hands inside the fat bartender hands. The eyes inside the bartender's head looked at him. Her eyes looked at him, and he was afraid. He scooped the capsule off the bar and put it on his tongue, but his tongue was dry and his throat wouldn't work. They were all staring at him, the bartender and the rag-winged birds behind him, and he couldn't swallow. He knew it wasn't a good idea to take a mouthful from the beer glass. He'd just spew it out, and the capsule with it. He had to get away from them, away from the weight of their gaze, and quick before he strangled. The bar stool rocked and nearly toppled over as he stood up, heart racing but moving slowly so they wouldn't see that he was afraid. It'd be death. They'd fall on him if they knew. He squeezed past the tables and chairs with the capsule on his swelling tongue, locking behind his gritting teeth. Smart to leave the half-full beer glass on the bar. They'd think he was coming back. Already he'd fooled them. Again. He made it to the men's room, down a little hallway with a payphone and a cigarette machine that had buckled and swayed around him. He collapsed against the wall, his palms smearing on the slick white tile. The whole room was white and smelled like disinfectant. It brought back memory. Not safe yet. He fumbled behind himself and found the lock on the door, a simple little bolt to shove into the hole on the other side. When he'd done that, his spine relaxed and he could breathe. He could have swallowed, too, taking the capsule safely down into his stomach, but he didn't. He was safe here. He could play just a little while longer. Rolling the cap around on the tip of his tongue, its little round end tapping against his teeth. Fuck those bastards out there, anyway. They knew that this was off-limits, neutral territory, and he had a lead on them. If they tried to follow him, to get in here, he had plenty of time to swallow the cap and defeat them, reduce them to the dull, normal things they pretended to be. He'd have to end the game soon, he knew. This was sailing too close to fucking up in a major way, and he didn't want that. It had gotten bad enough already. He didn't want to see Mr. Bad Daddy again, or the guy with the red wet face, or the one he always called Throw Worm. He'd take a pass on all that shit, and especially on seeing her again. He super didn't want that. All that beer he'd been drinking. Through the long hours of the game, he stepped over to the urinal, pulling down the tag on his fly. The white porcelain glistened, a baroque pearl. His own reflection glimpsed faintly on the luminous surface, and the chrome bits, the pipe and handle on top, the drain cover like a vented coin. He wanted to lay his forehead against the cold metal and weep for their beauty. A knot of anger tightened in his chest when he saw that somebody had run an X of masking tape across the urinal, with an out-of-order sign at its center. Those bastards. He stood in front of the toilet bowl, tugging the zipper the rest of the way down, reaching inside. The capsule had started to grow slick on the tip of his tongue, the blue and yellow skin dissolving in his spit. He'd have to swallow it soon or taste the bitter powder as it leaked out. Head tilted back, he opened his mouth, letting the capsule ride out into the air on the tip of his tongue. Then suddenly, it wasn't there. The cap was gone, the tiny weight vanished, mystifying him until he heard a bell-like sound, the plink of the tiny object hitting the water. Shit. He looked down in dismay and saw it underneath the ripples, spreading in rings across the bowl's surface. The cap was still drifting, blue end up, then the yellow, falling through the water. Frozen, he watched until it came to rest on the porcelain's inner curve. The cap hung on the lip of the dark, smooth-edged hole. The soft currents of the toilet bowl rocked it back and forth, teetering. A shiver of apprehension crossed his shoulders as he knelt on the floor and reached in. The chill liquid soaked through his sleeve, wetting him to the elbow as he groped cautiously for the capsule. His fingertips grazed the cap. It scooted out of his grasp, falling farther into the bowl's secret recesses. Heartsick and afraid, he lowered the side of his face onto the bowl's rim. "I'm sorry," he whispered inside his head. He had played the game too long, had stretched it past the breaking point, and now he didn't want to play anymore. All he wanted now was to get the cap, bring it up out of the depths, rinse it off in the sink, swallow it, and get out of here. To some place, that other place, where he'd be safe. The rim came up under his arm as he reached farther in. The porcelain had turned soft, swelling in time to his own breath, but still cold and white like long dead flesh. He could feel the moist gullet at the bottom spread apart, accepting his hand, squeezing back down along his wrist. Dancing in the blind water, the capsule eluded him, teasing him to reach even farther. With his other hand, he braced himself against the tank above the bowl. The water came all the way up to his armpit now. He could hear its murmur and sigh close to his ear. The capsule had to be just an inch away, a faint electric spark from its surface to his outstretched fingertips. Was it dissolving, leaking away the medicine inside? He wept, biting his lip as his arm strained to its limit. Miles away, right behind him, he heard scraping and flutterings at the restroom door. Something was trying to get in, to get at him. They knew he was helpless now. His other hand scraped its nails along the sweating tank. He didn't want to be found like this, to die this way. The bowl's rim changed shape underneath his ribs, collapsing from a nearly round oval to a tapered ellipse, then further to a long, smooth-edged slit, the edges touching his arm. The slit narrowed, the porcelain lips squeezing into his biceps. Below, where he could no longer see his forearm, the water had warmed and thickened, sealing itself tight to his skin. "Come on, you bastard," he moaned, sweat oozing over his face, fingers straining forward in the pipe under the floor. A fingernail grazed the melting skin of the capsule. Behind him, the things outside the door were battering at it now, their claws scraping and clashing, the beaks and wild, staring eyes frenzied beyond control. The pipe softened and closed around his arm, up to his elbow, closing and releasing a fraction of an inch, with a surging, rhythmic contraction. He could feel the veined surface, blood trembling behind the membrane walls, the warmth growing to heat as the contractions sped up in time to his own pulse. The restroom door started to splinter from the impact of the blows. "Fucker, you son of a bitch," he wept, anger rolling up from his heart. The contractions shivered into his spine, a snake tightening and burning, blinding him. He caught hold of something, his hand squeezing into a fist, the knuckles sliding against the soft walls. Not the capsule, but something bigger that yielded as he hardened his grip. Its center pulsed, then exploded, down in the darkness hidden to him. The same black explosion blossomed in his chest, snapping his ribs apart. Even as the door fell and the terrible faces rushed upon him, he fell into the darkness, knowing that he'd cheated them, and had been cheated himself of everything. He came to as they were loading him into the ambulance. The bad things had gone back into their hiding places. He couldn't see them anymore, for which he was grateful. Maybe they had given him a shot of something, one of the major tranquilizers which worked even faster and better than the capsules did. A paramedic with a coffee-colored, smiling face leaned over him. "Don't worry. You've just had yourself a little cardiac arrest, that's all. We're going to take you someplace where they'll take good care of you." The gurney's straps bound his arms close to his sides, but he didn't mind. It was nice to be an object again, in the care of others. Let them make the decisions. He closed his eyes, enjoying the flying sensation as they lifted the gurney up. Somebody climbed in after him and pulled the doors closed. He opened his eyes, looking around at the intricate fixtures. Asphalt rolled beneath the wheels. He could hear it. Behind the chrome and black rubber bits, everything was as white as the restroom's porcelain. The last thing he remembered from before. His heart crawled under his throat. He was all the way inside now, he realized. Not just his arm, all of him. The nurse turned around and looked at him with his ex-wife's face. She smiled, and already he felt the warm, soft walls closing in on him, wrapping him in their fierce, endless embrace.
Thank you.